Well, welcome, Zao Church. How are we doing this morning? Good to see you guys. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be a great Sunday. Man, that worship was incredible. Thank you to our worship team. And that was some power right there. But I think it's because we are in 21 days of prayer. There's something that happens when we are in 21 days of prayer that just helps everything out. So if you have been going to 21 days of prayer, let me see you. Where are you at? You've been going to 21 days of prayer. You've been engaged with us. Thank you so much. I honestly think that lends to such a great time of worship here on Sunday. But we are in 21 days of prayer. We do two seasons of 21 days of prayer every year. We do 21 days of prayer and fasting in January, and we do 21 days of prayer in feasting here in August. So go ahead and eat up. But we are praying together, believing God together as a church family as we jump into a new school year. How many of y'all ready for school to start? Yeah, that's about what I thought. How many of y'all are empty nesters and could care less? Wow, there you go. All right, yeah. I love it. All right. Well, there you go. Well, for those of us who need it, we need prayer. Okay. Me and my household, we will pray and we will believe God for a great year. And we are praying for you guys as you guys go back into school. And what a great time to do that together in this season of 21 days of prayer and fast, or 20 days of prayer. But along with that, we have our devotionals that we have for sale outside in the courtyard. And this is how we study the Bible together here at Zao. We're all reading the same thing, studying the same thing, praying the same way. And so go ahead and pick one of these up. We're 1 week into this, and this will take us through the end of the year. So make sure you pick one of those up on your way out today, all right? Well, it's going to be a great message today. I really do believe God has a word for you. Today we continue a new series that we've been in entitled Prayers of the People. Prayers of the People. And as we jump into a new season here, a new school year, 21 days of prayer, I thought it'd be appropriate to bring you a series on prayer. I don't know about you, but I just need a little bit more prayer in my life. Does anybody else agree with that? Anybody else need a little bit more prayer in their life? I think the secret weapon to being a believer in Jesus, if we had this secret power, it is prayer. It is communion with God. I just wonder, do you pray? How often do you pray? And I have a concern. If you don't pray, why don't you pray? Do you not know how to pray? Do you not know what to say? Do you understand what you're doing when you pray? Do you understand what is happening? Because I just believe that if you knew what was taking place, you would pray more. Because prayer changes things. Prayer shifts environments. Prayer changes outcomes. I love this concept we see throughout Scripture that prayer can actually move the heart of God. God can have his mind set on something, but the prayers of the people shift it. We see it all throughout Scripture. If you and I want to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, we must learn how to utilize this gift God has given us in prayer. So let me give the theme verse for our series. It's found in Ephesians 6:18, and it says this: pray in the Spirit in every situation. Pray in every situation. Pray all the time, every time. Pray in every situation. Prayer is not just a Sunday morning thing where someone comes up and prays and we go, that's good. Amen. Amen. Prayer is not something we do in desperate times when we really need to see God do something in our life, fix something we've messed up. God, would you really come through? Prayer is an everyday, every kind of situation thing. So you pray when you wake up. You pray when you take your kids to school. You pray when you're at work. You pray when you're making dinner. You pray when you're in traffic. You pray when you're in a fight with your spouse. Dear God, help me. And the mantra we introduced last week, I want to say it again, is this right here: pray first. We have a pray first mentality here at Zao Church. Pray first. Before you call that person back, pray first. I'm going to help you, all right? Pray first. Before you have that much needed conversation, pray first. Before you go into that meeting that you are dreading, pray first. Before you go about your day, pray first. Before you get in the car, pray first. And before you send that email, pray first, okay? Pray first. And the verse goes on: use every kind of prayer and request there is, which to many of us would say we didn't know there were many kinds of prayers and requests. But there are. And in this series, what we are doing is going through the Bible to show you these prayers. The Bible is a book of prayers prayed by the people of God and available for you and I to use as a guide, use as an outline to pray ourselves. Not prayers to be repeated, but prayers to be followed, prayers to be exampled. Prayers of the people that the people of God prayed in the Bible are formats, they're outlines for you and I to pray today. Even we see this with Jesus. Jesus gave us an outline of prayer. The people said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And he gave us a model. He said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. He didn't pray a prayer to be mimicked. He didn't pray a prayer for us to recite. He gave us an outline of how to pray. And by the way, in our devotionals every day, we pray through the Lord's Prayer. And I kind of show you how to do it in the devotional, but I'd encourage you to pick one up and pray through the Lord's Prayer every day. It's the model of prayer Jesus gave us. So where we have been in recent weeks, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines and how the spiritual disciplines that you and I can tap into, they aid us and they assist us in our spiritual formation as we walk in faith and as believers in Jesus. You see, practices of the faith. We've been given that term, practices of the faith. And this is one of them. Prayer is a practice of the faith. Y'all, it's football season. How many of y'all excited about football coming up? Listen, prayers is like practice. It's like the quarterbacks right now are doing quarterback drills, and linemen are doing the lineman drills, and you see these teams are getting ready. They're practicing. This is what we are to do as believers. We're to practice the faith. Sometimes you don't want to practice, but if you want to improve, you go to practice. If football players want to improve and win, they're going to go to practice. If we want to win in life, if we want to walk in the way of Jesus, we got to practice. We got to do practices of the faith. It's our spiritual disciplines. And I think this might be one of the hardest, right here. It might be one of the hardest practices, prayer. Because it might be something that you don't want to do. Maybe you don't know how to do it. Or maybe, for some of you, you just feel like you're not any good at it. But I got to tell you, it doesn't matter how you feel, you still got to pray. And what's cool about prayer is the more you pray, the more it becomes natural and the better you get. You won't get any good unless you start praying now. My hope is for you in this series to eliminate any confusion, eliminate any difficulty revolving around prayer, to teach you how to pray, and to get this. Here's my hope for you. Not only to teach you how to pray, my hope for each and every one of you is that you actually enjoy praying. Get you to this place where you desire to pray. Maybe you need a new kind of prayer. Maybe you have fallen into the boring, mundane prayer life. You don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray. Your prayers kind of suck. You just feel like, man, I can do a lot better at this, so I'm just not going to pray, right? Maybe you're in that place. I want to teach you a new way to pray. I want to teach you the prayers of the people in the Bible so that you would become a people that prays. And here's my kind of last warning before I jump in the message here. I truly believe this. You and I both need this more than we realize. We need prayer in our life more than we realize, more than we give credit to it. So last week, week one of the series, we looked at the prayer of Moses, a great outline of prayer. We looked at the tabernacle prayer and how the high priest in the Old Testament would go through the tabernacle. There's seven stations, seven pieces of furniture that the high priest would go through in order to meet with God. And once he went through them properly, he was able to meet with God. And we see that as a guide, as an outline on how you and I can meet with God to go through these seven steps. So if you missed that, go ahead and watch that. We have it online for you to access. But this week, week two, I want to look at another prayer. We looked at the prayer of Moses. Today I'm going to look at the prayer of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. What a cool name, Jabez. Why don't we see any kids named Jabez today? You know, what's up, Jabez? I just feel like I'm like cool saying that, you know. Last week, we talked about a great way to pray. Today I'm going to give you a great prayer to pray. It is still a guide, it's still an outline, but it's a great prayer that you and I can pray. Today I want to look at the person of Jabez and look at his prayer and how he prayed it and adopt it for us in our prayer life when we pray to God. So if you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is the prayer of my boy Jabez. Here we go. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for being with us today. Would you speak to us on how to pray using this prayer, the prayer of Jabez? Speak to each and every one of us this morning. Meet us right where we need you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think the Bible is funny. Does anybody else agree with that? Sometimes the Bible can be, thank you, sir, thank you for your hand. Nobody else, just you and me, JJ. The Bible can be funny sometimes. It's okay to laugh, not all of it, okay? You can't laugh at all of it. It's not a comedy book, okay? But parts of it is funny, okay? And this is one of them. The prayer of Jabez, The prayer that Jabez prayed is found in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. And to be honest, 1 Chronicles is a tough read. And I'm telling you that as a Bible student. I'm telling you that as a pastor. That's a hard read. That's one that you probably skip, okay? I didn't say it, but I said it. 1 Chronicles is kind of one of those. You guys, here, let me tell you why. Here's, you want to know what 1 Chronicles is all about? Y'all ready? 1 Chronicles, okay? So-and-so begot so-and-so. 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 Chapter 2. So-and-so begot so-and-so. So-and-so begot so-and-so. It's riveting. Riveting read. So-and-so. And then it goes into so-and-so begot so-and-so, and it just gets on and on and on. 600 so-and-sos, actually. You can skip it. You can skip it. It's okay. You can skip that part. But here's what's amazing about the Bible. I think it's hilarious, right? The Bible, so-and-so begot so-and-so, skips the begots and gives an honorable mention to this man named Jabez. So-and-so begot so-and-so. Hold up. Let me tell you about Jabez. And then so-and-so begot so-and-so. It's crazy. Let me just read to you the honorable mention interrupted in the begots. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10 says this. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. No wonder nobody's named Jabez today, because Jabez means pain. Could you imagine naming one of your kids Pain? I know you think about it all the time. You are a pain. Well, can I introduce you to my kids? There's Jake, there's Brandon, there's Jennifer, and that's Pain, right? That's Pain. You know, you have him, her as a child, Pain, right? It's our little secret. Next time they do something in the car, be like, Jabez. They don't know. They're not in here. Could you imagine the upbringing of Pain? His friends probably bullied him. They probably messed with him. And it's actually kind of heartbreaking that a mother would name her child Pain. And you think, what else is heartbreaking in this? As some of us have put a label on ourselves, we have labeled ourselves and we have lived by that label. Just like the mother of Pain named him Pain and he went by Pain, many of us put a label on ourselves or receive a label from somebody and we live out that label. There's someone, something that has labeled you and you are allowing that label to define you just like Pain. Hey, you are depression. You are bankruptcy. You are failure. You are divorce. Here's one that I know a lot of people struggle with. You're not good enough. Maybe a teacher said that over you. Maybe a parent said that over you. Or maybe you said it over yourself. I'm Pain. But I love what Jabez does. He cried out to the God of Israel. Pain, look at this. Pain cried out to God. If your name was Pain, what do you think you'd cry out to God about? Your pain. If I'm in pain, I'm going to cry out to God about my pain. That's what we do. But that's not what Jabez did. But most of us spend our time talking to God. Our prayer life is consumed with us, with our pain, with our past, with our problems. God, let me tell you about my problem. God, let me tell you about my pain. God, why did I go through this? I'm going to talk about my past. We spend our time in prayer about our pain that we're going through. We complain to God about the labels we put on ourselves. But what if there was a better way to pray? What you're about to see with this person, Jabez, is that Pain doesn't pray about his pain. Instead, Pain prays about his promise. Pain doesn't go to God and just gripe and complain and moan and whine about his pain, which he probably could have. Pain went to God, ignored his pain, and talked about his promise. Oh, that you would bless me, God, and enlarge my territory. In some translations, they say this. They say, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. It's like putting 5 exclamation points at the end of bless me. Bless me indeed. And for you emoji people, it's 5 100s, you know, or I like the fire. I like the fire emoji. Any emoji people? 5 fires, right? Bless me indeed. Fire, 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 right? Now bless me. I got to just pause here. This is not a prosperity blessing. This is an acknowledgement that God, there are things that I don't have in my life that I know you want to put in my life. And the things in my life I do not have, I know that you want them for my life. Bless me in that. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from myself. Some of us need to get free from ourselves. And God granted his request. This is amazing to me. God pauses the listing of 600 begots, and he says, let me just teach you how to pray. If I focus on my promise, instead of my pain, here's what God's going to do. God's going to free you from your pain. When you choose to focus on the promise that God has for your life, not the pain you're experiencing in life, he will free you from the pain in your life. So, I want to go through this prayer. I want us to learn how to pray like pain. Maybe you're in pain today. I want to teach you how to pray like pain. If you're looking for a good guide, a way to pray, pray the prayer of Jabez. So here's the first thing we see in the prayer of Jabez. If you're taking message notes, you can write this down. The first thing we see is he prays for blessing. 1 Chronicles 4:10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. The very first thing he prays for is blessing. But let me tell you what blessing is. Bless me in the Hebrew is this word, barak. And that means, check this out, this is what the word barak means. That the greatness of God would come down and would put something in my life that I'm lacking. That's what blessing is. That the greatness of God would come down and put something in my life that is not currently there. Where are you lacking in life? Wherever you're lacking in life, ask for God to bless you in that area. And when you do, God will put something in that area of your life that is lacking. He will put something in there that is not currently there already. Some of us have an incorrect in it, like a cruel view of God, like God is out to get you. But God is our Father. You would do this for your kids. If your kid is lacking, you want to provide. You don't just sit there and go, well, screw you, you know? I hated you all along. Remember when you kicked the dog, you know? Remember when you cussed me out? Like, man, tough, suck it up. You know, it's like, you're screwed. No, we don't do that with our kids. A loving God, a loving Father wants to bless you where you are lacking, where you are in need. God wants to come and fulfill. So let me say this. I do think that God wants to bless you in the area of finances. I do agree with that. But I don't think that is the only area where he wants to bless you in. If you're lacking in finances, by all means, ask for blessing. That's not a selfish thing. We'll explain that here in a second. But there's more. If you're lacking in health, ask for blessing. God, I ask that you would bless my health. Are you lacking in knowledge? God, I'm asking you to bless my knowledge and my thinking. Are you lacking in understanding? God, I'm asking you to bless my understanding. God desires to come into your life and provide for you what is missing. Psalm 18:35 says this, and you give me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supports me, and your lowliness makes me great. Another translation says this, I love this translation, you stoop down to make me great. I resonate with that. Because I truly feel that God stepped down to make me great. Because I know that I'm nothing great. Y'all, can I tell you about me for a second? I was a C minus D student. Anybody else? Okay, like I did not. What up, man? I just didn't do well. Me and Addie did not do well in school. You know, it's just when I would take tests, I went to the special place called Content Mastery. Anybody else? No, you guys were from Lake Travis. I didn't think so. You see, when I would take a test, they're like, okay, Jared, take your homework or your test and take it into the special classroom. It's called Content Mastery. Look at that name. They're like, they're trying to make you feel better about yourself. I'm going to content mastery, you know? Like, no, I'm an idiot. And I go where idiots go. And I'd go and I'd sit down and I'd open it up and a teacher would come and they would take the test with me. Basically, I was the smart one. I had the teacher take the test for me. Who's an idiot now? Yeah. I worked the system. Don't cheat, kids. It's a rough past. But I would get in trouble. I was not that smart. But God stooped down low, and he made this special boy great. And he enabled me to do some great things. Okay, so you might be saying, okay, Pastor Jared, are we talking like this is a prosperity gospel church? I wish that was our theology, like name it and claim it, glab it, blab it and grab it, whatever they say, you know? It's like, let's get a plane up in here, you know? Like, let's do that, you know? Like, I want that to be our theology, you know? It's just not biblical theology. So no, we're not that. But I still think God wants to bless you. Why? Because it's in the Bible, Genesis 12:2. I'm going to bless you. That's what he wants. But check this out. He doesn't want to bless you so that you can have your plane and your extra house and lots of money to invest in crypto, you know? Like, he wants to bless you so that you'll be a blessing to others. That's what God wants. He does want to bless you, but he wants to bless you so you'll be a blessing to others. God wants to give you more, not so that you would have more and hoard more. That's prosperity teaching, that the more you get, the more you get, and the more you get to keep. That's prosperity. We're saying God wants to give you more, but instead of you keeping it, you get to give it away. I truly believe God is looking for men and women who he can give more to. Does anybody want more? But he'll only give more to those who will give it away, not hoard it. I truly believe I have a healthy view on this subject. I have a biblical view on this subject to the point where I'm being asked to come in and preach this to other churches, because a lot of pastors don't like to talk about this. The Bible teaches that the tithe belongs to the Lord. It's not yours, it's God's. But God's so good that he allows you to keep 90% of your increase, but you got to return to him the first 10. Because it belongs to him. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It's very clear in Scripture. And then Malachi says, to those who return, you know you can't give a tithe because it's not yours. You can only return it because it belongs to him. So when you return a tithe unto the Lord, that is where the Lord says, I command a blessing. So knowing that, we have two choices with the tithe. We can either steal it because it belongs to God, or we can give it back to him because it's his. You have two choices with the tithe. That's all you have. Well, what's God's response to us? God blesses those who return the tithe unto him, and he has no choice but to curse those who steal it from him. Why? Because God cannot bless a thief. God is looking to entrust more to those who have a heart to give, not keep. This is how I see it. All the needs in humanity, in the world, you have on this side. Like all the poverty, all the needs that need to be met, all the people who need to be saved, that the Bible needing to be produced in languages that are not yet written. Like there's so much need in the world. And on the other side, you have all the resources in the world. And God owns all the resources. It all comes from God. The Bible says that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. Well, God wants to get resources to people who are in need. Why? Because these are his children. He loves them. He wants to see the kingdom advanced on earth. Well, how does God get kingdom money, kingdom resources to people who are in need? Because last I checked, he's not raining down $100 bills from the sky. I wish he was. That would be absolutely incredible. Or you go out to the backyard and you like actually have money growing on trees. How awesome would that be? But he doesn't do that. He does something different. What's in the middle? Us. We are in the middle. God is looking for kingdom-minded people that he can filter his kingdom resources through to give to those in need. That's how God works. That's how giving works. So stop praying. This is weird, but stop praying for God just to meet your needs. That's a little prayer. That's kind of a selfish prayer. Ask God to give you more so that you can be a blessing to others. I just got to be honest. I wrote this morning, this part right here, this statement. I'm going to poke a little bit in this sermon. I'm going to poke you right now, so don't flinch on me. As I talk about money and the tithe, if this offends you, you worship money, not God. I'm going to move on. So here's the prayer. Just poke it and walk away. Here's the prayer for this point right here. Lord, give me more than I need so I can be a blessing to the world around me. That's the prayer that we're praying for this right here. God wants to bless you. He wants to provide for you where you're lacking, but that's not it. He wants to give kingdom resources through you so you can be a blessing to others. I got to tell you, us as a church, we don't have lack. We have a very generous church. We actually set our budget on 90% of last year's income. So we already have a buffer. We are living in margin. We have margin in our budget. Why? So that we can have an extra 10% to give to other people, that needs come up, churches that need to be planted, resources that need to be given away. We're able to be generous as a church. But we have so much vision as a church that we have so much more that's going to come in the future. So much more. And I'm going to lead this church with vision because I know that God has called us to do some great things. So if you really believe that God wants to answer your prayers to give you more, let me ask you this question. What would you do with the more? What would you do with the more that God wants to bless you with? Here's the second thing. We're going to pray for influence. 1 Chronicles 4:10 says this, "Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Now that you have blessed me, because I prayed for blessing, you gave me blessing. Now that you gave me blessing, God, I want you to use me. I don't want to just sit on the blessing. I want to be used." And I know this is a prayer for so many. God, use me to do something great. I want to be used by you. This is an acknowledgement that my capacity for what you have called me to do is not enough. God, stretch me. When I was praying for this message, the Lord stopped me right here and began to speak to me, and I believe I have a word for you. Here's what I believe the Lord wants to say to you today. The life that God has for you is a life that is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. For some of you, you struggle through life because your life has become all about you. But if you're ever to realize that there's so much more to this life than your life, then you would experience true joy for your life. Man, the happiest people in life are not those without problems. Happy people have problems too. The happiest people in life are those who are led by a purpose. They see that life is beyond their life. It's not all about them. Life is beyond their life. Psychologists have a word for this. It's called transcendent living, meaning you live beyond yourself. And this is why I believe some people are successful and some people are not successful. Successful people don't have less problems and more money. They have a clear vision and a purpose. That's why Paul prayed this to the church. It's a great prayer we find in Ephesians 1:18. And by the way, this is the vision of our church. It says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." This is where we get the vision for our church. But I love that word hope. I want you to notice in this prayer that you cannot have hope unless you understand why you have been called. Why? Because hope and calling go hand in hand. This is why so many people go through life and are hopeless, because they don't know their purpose in life. Next week, we have Life Track, the third Sunday of every month. The point of Life Track is to help you to discover God's plan for your life and your purpose. So if you don't have hope, you don't know the purpose for your life, come to Life Track. We'll help you with that next week. But I know this, in prayer, our tendency is to focus on our pain, just and our problems. But here's what we're going to do in prayer. We're going to not focus on what we're going through, our pain and our problems. Instead, we're going to focus on our purpose. We're going to focus on what God wants for us. Then he has this word inheritance. I want you to catch this word inheritance here in that verse. That you have a glorious inheritance from God. Did you know that God left you with an inheritance? Now, my parents are still living. Thank God for that. But I know that when your family dies, your parents dies, your grandparents dies, whatever the case may be, you sometimes are left with some inheritance, right? And it's usually not junk. Some of you guys may get junk. But it's usually riches. It's gold and silver, money, cars, houses. Those are your inheritance. Parents want to bless you. But right here in the scripture, what I love about this is God says he left you with an inheritance. And I got to tell you, it's not money. It's not possessions. You ready for it? It's his holy people. This is what this means. Your purpose in life is people. And I think about that. What is God so in love with? His people, his children, his creation. That's why we get to be in the middle. Because we get to funnel kingdom resources into God's people, our inheritance. One of our values is that people are our priority. We exist to serve people. That's not just the mission of this church. It's the purpose of every believer. Let me show it to you in the Psalms. Psalms 2:8 says this, "Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions." In other words, I'm going to let you influence people. That's what God wants to do. He's blessed you, and now he's going to give you influence over people. And I just think it's crazy that there is a profession today called an influencer. Y'all follow him on social media, right? Any influencers in here? You want to give me a shout out? Appreciate that. Yeah. Anybody gone into Lululemon anytime recently? There's an influencer. Big poster in Lululemon. This dude doing like, I don't even know what he's doing, but he's like swinging on a monkey bar. They went out to a playground and took a picture of this dude. Pastor D is an influencer. I saw a stat the other day, and I don't think this is Dustin's stat, but influencers online can make up to $10,000 for an Instagram post. If that is, you ain't giving to the church, bro. I'm just saying, like. Some of the top YouTubers earn over $20 million a year just by getting people to click, watch, and buy. Same. Yeah. Here's the thing. Brands are paying these people, influencers, huge money. Why? Because influencing works. People are influential, ready to be influenced. So people change their habits, their spending, their identities, based upon who they are following. And God is calling you to so much more. He wants to make you an influencer. I'm sorry, you're not going to be making $20 million or $10,000 a post. It's something better. He wants you to influence people for eternity. Not to influence people to buy something, but instead to receive someone. The person of Jesus. This is your inheritance. So here's how I pray. Lord, show me your purpose for my life so I can live a life bigger than my own. I remember when I was 14 years old, I was at a youth conference and I prayed a prayer just like this. I just was this young boy saying, God, I want to do something bigger than myself. God, I feel like I have a big calling, a big purpose on my life. I feel like I'm meant to do something great. I remember praying that prayer when I was 14 at a youth conference. And I look back now. I've traveled the world on mission trips. I've preached to thousands. I've been able to lead thousands to Christ. I've met so many great men and women of the faith. And now I pastor the greatest church in America. Come on, Zayo. I'm living my big purpose that I prayed when I was 14 years old. Some of you need to pray bigger prayers. Some of you need to dream a little bit bigger. If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough, right? They got to be big dreams. and you will see God answer your dreams, and he is going to give you influence. So we've been blessed because we prayed for that, not just to meet our needs, but to use us to be a blessing. And he actually did it, and now he's giving you influence. You get to speak into people's lives. And now we begin to feel the weight of that. It's a heavy, heavy burden. So we pray this prayer right here. We pray for presence. 1 Chronicles 4:10 says, "And let your hand be with me." I got to tell you, this is a daily prayer for me. You are looking at the most desperate person in the room right here. I am the most desperate person for God in the room. Because I know that I am pastoring a church and I cannot do this by myself. That's why we do 21 days of prayer. Honestly, I hope you do it. But if you don't, I don't care. I need it, okay? I know it's going to be beneficial for you, but I'm doing it whether you come or not. Because I'm desperate for God. You see, the hand of God in this passage meant that the hand of God was this hand of power and this hand of presence for Jabez. So that's what I pray for. God, may your power and your presence come on my life. I need it. I need your power and your presence for my family. I need your power and your presence for Zayo Church. I'm praying the power and presence over your life. God, what you've called me to is too big for me. Therefore, I need you. And check out what happens in the early church. I bet it surprised them, Acts 11:21. The Lord's hand was with them. Probably surprised them. I'm surprised God's on this church. I am. What are you doing? A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Like all the signs and wonders they saw was because the hand of God was on their life. We are seeing some amazing things here at this church. A big thing happened this week. I'll tell you about it later. I don't want to say it yet because it's not fully done, but a big thing happened this week. Miracles are happening. I just got to tell you, it's not because I'm a good preacher or we have amazing coffee or we have amazing facility we meet in, right? Like, it's the hand of God that's on this church. Amen. Hand of God that's on your life. We want to see God do amazing things here in this church. We're believing for it. We're praying for it. I'm asking God to bless this church. I'm asking God to bless you so that you'd be a blessing. The only reason is because his hand is on our life. I think about what we're doing, what we're building. I know we love this facility. We're all hot. I'm sweating up here every Sunday. Tech just made me this. I think it's hilarious, but I'm using it. This is tech for you, just a little square. We are in the process, and we'll give you more updates here in a couple months at our Vision Sunday, but we're building this $20 million facility, and it's just going to be absolutely incredible, and we've got the barn coming very, very soon. We'll tell you more about that. It's coming. I know you want to go. And I just think about, like, the Lord has allowed us. We have over $6 million. I think it's like $6.3 million pledged to this campaign. We've received more than half of that so far. God has been doing amazing things. But I got to tell you, it's because God's hand is on this church. Amen. And I am no fool. It is not because of me. It's because the hand of God is on this church. Right. And the moment we believe it's about ourselves, he'll go. That's like my nightmare. Yeah. The role that I sit in scares me to death. I mean, God is using us. We're growing. You guys are crazy enough to come to church and sit there and sweat. You know, it's like, you're sensing the presence of God. The greatest compliment I get every week is not your preaching was good. The greatest compliment I get is, man, I felt something. You could say this to me and I would not be offended. Pastor, your message sucked. However, I felt the hand of God this morning. I don't say that because I probably will take offense to it. And I am a fighter, so I might have to throw down. But that really is my heart. Like, I just want you to feel the presence of God. But God's using us. We're growing. It's terrifying. And there's one verse that I have preached several times. I believe it's one of my life verses. maybe not even to share with people, but really for me to live by. It's this right here. Moses, when he was leading the 4 million people of God through the wilderness to the promised land, what a responsibility that is. He prayed this, Exodus 33:15-17. Moses said this to God, God, if your presence does not go with us, I'm not going. Don't send me. Like, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? Like, God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. My hope and my prayer is that you walk away experiencing the presence of God every week here at Zayo. And I pray you walk out of here and you say, man, there's something different about that place. Like, God is actually among those people. Amen. I have been around in church ministry for a long time now, and I've seen different movements come and go. And I am more convinced now than ever that churches who desire the presence of God are the churches that God blesses. Amen. The churches that say, God, we want you, we want your son Jesus, and we want the Holy Spirit. We are a spirit-filled church, believe in the presence of God. Amen. That's why he breathes on this place. I even met recently with the predominant pastor in our area just to hang out and catch up, somebody I respect. He has a great church, a large church, successful church in our area. And he said this to me. I did not invite it. I did not preface it. I was not expecting it. He said, Jared, what God is doing at Zayo is a miracle. Wow. From another pastor. And he said this. He said, I might be 20 years ahead of you in ministry, but your church is at the same place mine is. Wow. Like, because God's hand is on this church, we got to jump 20 years. Like, it's the favor of God. It's the anointing of God. It's something special. The verse goes on, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. It's amazing how this works. God, I don't want to do this without you. If you don't go, I'm not going. In my work, in my family, God, if you don't go, I'm not going. And this is how he responds. He says, that's your prayer? You're going to pray a selfless prayer like that? Okay, I'm going to bless you then. Instead of praying for God, bless me and save me of my pain, it's all about me, you say, God, I love you and I don't want to do this without you. God turns around and goes, okay, if that's really how you want to play, I have no choice but to bless you. Again, this is why we do 21 days of prayer. I don't want to move another day forward without the presence of God. We're so selfish that we need to be reminded two times a year to put God first. I forgot. I made it all about me. 21 days of prayer. I'm reminding myself. Go through Christmas and New Year's. I really thought it was all about me. We're fasting. We're going to withhold food, and we're going to starve out the flesh. We're going to invite the presence of God. We need it. We need it. So here's what I pray on this prayer right here. Lord, be with me because what you have called me to is too big for me. So God, bless me with more so I can be a blessing to others. And once you've done that, give me influence. Expand my territory. And now that I'm living that, man, I am reminded of how much more I need you. Protect me. Be with me. And here's the final part of that prayer right here. We're going to pray for protection. And keep me from harm, 1 Chronicles 4:10. Keep me from harm. Lord, now that you've blessed me and you've given me influence and your presence is with me, I have become a target to the enemy. The enemy said, oh, I see you now. You're actually making a difference in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to come against you. So I'm going to ask God, would you protect me? Protect me from the evil one who tries to come against me, who wants to take the blessing and the influence that you have given me away from me. Protect me from that enemy. You know, to be vulnerable, the enemy attacks me and my family quite a bit. And I just have come to realize that, accept that as a fact of being a pastor of a church. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's being a believer. I don't know. But the enemy comes against me and my family. And quite frankly, I'm honored. I'm honored that the enemy would notice me. A saying that I say quite often is, you don't get tackled sitting on a sideline. And since we've planted this church now, we moved here about 8 years ago. We're about to celebrate 6 years of the church here in a couple weeks. We've experienced so many attacks from the enemy, from the devil. We've experienced attacks on our family. We've experienced attacks on friendships. We've experienced attacks in our health. I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple years ago, I was in a serious accident. I was bucked from my horse and broke. It was right before Christmas. I broke 5 ribs, punctured my lung, and broke my collarbone. And I couldn't preach the Christmas service, one of the biggest services of the entire year, Christmas Eve. Shortly after that, my truck was stolen from the domain. Sounds like a country song, I know. Bucked from my horse and my truck was stolen, but listen. My kids have been attacked. My marriage has been attacked. My finances have been attacked. And I've just become accustomed to it. I'm used to being attacked by the enemy. And I'm a fighter, I told you, just maybe who I am. Here's what I do. I'm going to be attacked regardless, so I just don't let him have the victory. I don't respond the way that he wants me to respond or the way he's baiting me to respond. Even in an attack from the enemy, I know without a shadow of a doubt God's protecting me. If I were you, I would thank God for the attacks of the enemy, and I would trust that he's protecting you no matter what. I'm about to poke you again. Don't flinch. Church, I got to be honest with you. I hope this rattles you a little bit. If you are not being attacked by the enemy, you might be walking with him. Or at very least, he just laughs at you and is like, well, he's doing more destruction on his own. I'm going to leave him alone. I don't even need to attack that family. They are destroying themselves. I'm going to leave him alone. Now, some people don't like me talking about the devil, but the Bible doesn't have a problem talking about the devil, so I'll talk about the devil. And I think churches have chosen to ignore the devil because they fear him. And in their fear, they have ignored him and allowed Satan to roll around and prance on people and attack people. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So let's not talk about him. And hopefully it'll just go away. It's like a little kid playing hide and go seek. You know, can't see me. I'm hiding. Maybe if I hide, the enemy will go away. It's not how it works. We don't talk about him. He goes, well, it's not how it works. He's sneaky. He's crafty. Look at what he's done in the church. He's convinced us not to talk about him, so we don't. And he's like, thank you. I'll go and have my way with the people of God. The truth is you have an enemy of your soul. And you can either sit back passively and act like nothing is happening, or you can fight the enemy. You can push back against the enemy. How do we fight the enemy? Through prayer, through worship. Here's a big one, through speaking the name of Jesus. The Bible says demons flee at the name of Jesus. So I'm asking for the church to fight back because the enemy is having his way. And just you ignoring the enemy does not mean he goes away. It means he laughs at you and only pushes in harder. So parents, let's start fighting for our kids. When you take your kids to school in the morning, pray over them. God, I protect my kids today. I speak the name of Jesus over my kids. I declare that the devil has no power over my kids today. I declare that they are free and you can't have them. You gotta fight for them. And don't fight in the physical, you fight in the spiritual, the supernatural. You may not be able to be with your kids all day, but guess who is? God. Romans 8, 35 and 37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So here's what I pray. Lord, strengthen me and protect me from every kind of attack of the enemy. So we pray this. God, give me more than I need so that I can be a blessing to those around me. Lord, show me my purpose so I can live a life bigger than my own and influence people. God, I can't do this without you. You've given me blessing and influence. If you're not in this, I'm not going. Protect me. Be with me. And Lord, keep me far from the enemy. Keep that devil far from me. It's a great way to pray. If you have 1 minute in the car, pray that prayer. If you have an hour to break it down, pray that prayer. Just encourage you. It's a new way to pray today. I'm going to close with this thought right here, and then we'll get you out of here. Two choices in prayer. One, you can make your prayer time all about you, your pain, your problems, your past. It's all about you and your issues. Or you can be like Mr. Payne. We can be like Jabez. We can make our prayer all about God and what God wants for our life. Jabez didn't pray about his pain. Jabez prayed about his promise, and then God took care of his pain. So I want to challenge you on your thought process today as you go into prayer. Prayer is not me reminding God that I'm here and I have needs and come to me, God. Trying to get him to focus on me more. Prayer is tuning our ear to what God wants for us. And it just so happens he wants to bless you. He wants to give you influence. He wants to protect you. So here's how I would say it right here. We'll close with this statement right here. Prayer isn't about God moving toward us. Prayer is about us moving towards God. Let's pray. Let's pray together. I just want you to take a moment right where you're at and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? What is my takeaway? What are you saying to me through this message and through this word today? Let him speak to you. Just be quiet. See what he says. Father, I do just pray for blessing over your people today. I pray for influence over your people today. I pray for protection over your people today. And I pray that the enemy would be far from them. Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you that you want to use us to expand the kingdom of God. We're not here just to suck air and pay bills and mow our grass and store up for ourselves. Lord, we're here to make an impact for the kingdom of God. This is our inheritance. This is who we are. Lord, I pray that word would just settle in our hearts today. And I want to pray for those who have never made a decision for Jesus, never given their hearts, pledged their allegiance to Jesus. If that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer. Just say this to God. Say, God, today I invite you into my heart. Change me from the inside out. I believe in your son, Jesus, that he died for me on the cross. He rose from the dead, ascended unto you. Today I give you my heart. I pledge my life to you. Change me, make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Can we clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer?